Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
We're going to get right into this today, but I rewatched number 208 today, and somewhere, I don't remember if it was in the first 20 minutes or what, I referenced when we get to 208 or 200, when we get around 200, it's going to be great when we hear from the guys that are like, oh man, I listened to all 9 episodes and I started my business or I'm just getting ready to start out and blah, blah, blah. We literally had a call this morning.
This morning.
With I won't say his name because I don't know if he would want me to say it or not. He literally said, I've watched the first episodes like 8 or 9 times.
Yeah. He's listened to every episode so far and he's watched the first 9.
Over and over again.
Yep.
And he had questions that were literally, you know, I've done this, I've done that from this episode and that and this. Where do I fill in these questions I have?
Yep.
And so we had a call with him this morning and went over those questions. He's getting ready to start his business. He's in prime condition.
Yeah.
And prepared. He's going to do great. He's not the only one that's done that. And
nope.
My point is the system freaking works.
Works really well.
It works really well. Now, do you have to listen to some of our mundane bullshit and our maybe not the best talk back and forth? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the system works, man.
Yeah.
And I, like, it. When I saw it, because we had the call and then I watched that and
yeah.
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was like, that is fantastic.
How cool is that?
It was cool, man. It was a great moment.
We have a lot of Tradewinds members that joined Tradewinds before their opening date.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that all their ducks were in a row for the day they opened. We have a lot of other Tradewinds members that joined at a 1 truck level and are now 2 or 3 trucks strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we have some that have fired everyone and started over 4 times.
Yes. Yeah. And as long as you don't quit, you're good. So, it's a really, really cool thing. And I'm really glad that we're rehashing these because our opinions have changed over the years a little bit, not dramatically, but slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And so there's some different opinions that we'll have on these. So it's just kind of interesting. But yeah, this episode here is 208, which is a rehash of the original episode number 8.
Yep.
Which is the 5th adversity in the core adversities.
Now you're testing me.
I
don't have that note in front of me.
We have 6 core adversities that take 9 episodes to discuss. And this episode here, 208, is over the 5th adversity. And that adversity is wake up, do work, repeat.
Boom.
And essentially, the high-level overarching video, the cliff notes, the high-level overarching theme.
View.
Is,
you okay, buddy?
Is the success is built in the monotony. Is doing the thing over and over and over without getting discouraged, without losing momentum, and staying inspired to achieve your goal.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do it the first time. It's one thing to do it efficiently for the first time. It's one thing to do it efficiently so many times that it's just second nature, right?
Yeah.
It's another thing to stay excited about doing it so efficiently so many times where now it's like boring. And whoever can make it through the boring will win.
Yeah.
And so this episode's just dedicated to how to make it through the mundane. Wake up, do the work, repeat every freaking day.
Yeah. And that is what you were saying. That is the boring part.
Yeah.
Like, you're excited when you start your business. You're excited for the first 6 months. You're excited for the year. You're excited for the second year. You have a goal that you want to do better than the first. You get to the third year. Oh, I want to, you know, do better than I did the second. And it's like you almost reach a mental plateau of, I mean, exhaustion, really.
Right.
You know, you've run out of excitement. You're tired. The day-to-day is just really boring. Like, it's anticlimactic because you would think when you get to that point, you would cheer. Yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah. But you're like, well, now what? What do I do now?
Right.
Well, that's where the wake up, go to work, repeat. Yeah. Like, just to be able to embrace that boring and then to keep moving forward takes a real, it takes a real, a whole nother level of discipline, I guess is what I want to say. Because you don't have that edge. You don't have that excitement. You have the, I'm here and now it's time to get paid.
Yep.
And getting paid once the train is moving forward is the boring part.
Yep. Yeah, so the ability to stay through the monotony and stay engaged through all of that, that's where the strong survive, and that's where it's a war of attrition. The greatest to ever do it weren't great because they were the best. They were great because they stayed in it the longest, is really the easiest way to put that. They just never gave up. Right?
Yeah.
And so our secrets for wake up, do work, and repeat, as you're starting your business or as you're revitalizing your business, maybe your business has kind of been a passive thing and you're wanting to be real aggressive with it now. But our theme for how to do this is you want to have a good daily routine. You want to be able to measure your business's performance with KPIs. KPI stands for Key Performance Indicator. And so a good KPI sheet is going to tell you where you're winning and where you're losing. And so, for instance, if you're in a sales business, then you need to be measuring sales every day. You don't want to get to the end of the month to find out, did you make enough sales or did you not? You want to know halfway through the month, are we on pace to make enough? Am I ahead of the curve? Am I behind the curve, right?
Yeah, if you wait too long and you're out of money.
Yeah.
You can't make payrolls too late.
Yeah. And another facet of waking up and doing work and repeating that over and over and over is to benefit your family. And so I'm going to hit on routine first. And I'm going to talk about the benefits and the value of routine. Routine makes all the difference in the world. The military, imagine if the military had no routine. It would be absolute freaking chaos, right?
Yeah.
But like our military is a powerhouse because it is a product of routine. They make their bed the same way. They get up at the same time. They eat at the same time. They march in the same step. They recite the same chants when they march. They clean their gun the same way.
Yeah.
They were all trained to fire their gun the same way. Like, all of that is the same because the process works.
Yeah.
And so they wake up, do work, and repeat every day. Field Pulse is the field management software for the field service pro like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow to a larger company and ready to scale, or no matter what size you are, it's everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features for your CRM, for estimates and invoices, for scheduling, for dispatching, for good, better, best proposals, for maintenance plans. It'll even incorporate your price book. It'll even incorporate the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're already using, like QuickBooks and your desktop and everything else. So you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you do work day to day. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, it keeps your team organized, and it gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across nearly 600 reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's field, P-U-L-S-E.com. Routine is huge. Getting up at the same time every day is huge. I'm not going to tell you you have to get up early. Back when we recorded the original episode 8, I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that was back when you were insane.
Yeah. And the reason why I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning was because I was working out at 5 a.m. every day, and I needed to get my workout in before the bulk of the day started.
Yeah, and you were running calls then, too.
I was running calls and everything else. And so now I don't get up until like 7 or 7:30.
I know.
Yeah. And it's just a shift, but it's still a routine, right?
Yeah.
But I have now prioritized getting a full night's rest instead of shorting myself on sleep. I found the benefits of a full night's rest.
Yeah.
So getting up at a routine time every day, it's more important to stick with the routine than it is to pick the time. Like, I don't subscribe to this whole idea, like, you got to get up at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or whatever if you want to be successful, because that's bullshit. I've seen really successful people that don't get up until 10.
Yeah.
But then they work until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So as long as you're disciplined to your routine, that's fine. But having a routine for everything, like, when you start your own business, it's going to get chaotic for a minute. You're going to have days where you have more calls than time to run them. You're going to have days where you have no calls and all the time in the world. And so getting consistent with your routine is going to help with that a ton. Scheduling calls on these days, on these times. Scheduling time for you to do office work.
Yeah.
And sticking to that routine. You know, all of that stuff matters.
That was one thing I wanted to bring up in this one specifically. We didn't really talk a whole lot about it in the first one, is having a routine inside of your business for office work. And this is really for the guys that are going from the field and one-man shows, but guys that are going from the field to the office, it's very easy for you to get complacent because you don't have that daily routine of running calls.
Right.
Hey, at 5:30 every day or 5:30 to 7:30 in that window, I'm going to make sure the KPI sheet's filled out.
Right.
On Fridays between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. or 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., I'm going to have my call with my VA or my call with my accountant, and staging all of that stuff so that there is a routine for you to follow your plan and know the inner workings of your business, I think is just as important as the physical routine of I get up and I work out and I do this and I do that and I go run calls and I come home and I eat dinner. You know what I mean? Like that routine of forcing yourself to look at your P&L after every day is extremely important, or once a week or once a month, whatever it is, stick to it, write it out, and make sure that you do it consistently.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to say magically, but that's the word that comes to mind. It magically makes it easier for you to stay on top of your business when you're doing your business inner workings on a regular schedule.
Yeah. Essentially, routine is about getting exact with measuring things.
That's a good way to say it.
And so, like, how many minutes did I wake up after my routined time? If my alarm was supposed to go off at 7:30, did I hit snooze 3 times? Okay, I deviated from routine.
Tristan.
Right? But through routine, like, what gets measured improves.
Yeah.
And so if I'm tracking daily revenue or daily numbers of calls ran, then those numbers are only bound to improve because now my focus is on those. And if I'm tracking number of callbacks, then that number is going to improve by shrinking because I'm putting a focus on it, right? And so anything we put a focus on improves. And so establishing your routine and your KPIs and your family time is all about making sure that those are in your routine and putting a focus on it, so all of those improve. And so like my routine back when we recorded the original one was I would get up at 4:30. I was in the gym by 5. I was home from the gym by 6. And then I would shower, eat a really good healthy breakfast. I would read at least 10 pages of a...
Is like, that when you were doing 52?
Yeah, I just was kind of in that habit. I started reading because I was doing 75 hard.
Oh, 75 hard. That's right.
But I kept that up, right?
Yeah, after the fact.
And so then by the time I was actually leaving my house to go to my first service call, I had already been up for 3 hours and I had already accomplished a ton. Already got a workout in, already had a good, healthy breakfast, already stimulated my brain with some reading. I also, part of my routine was to make a Facebook post after I was done reading. And usually my Facebook post was some kind of like reading takeaway. And so by the time I met my first call, like, I'm already accomplished for the day. And if the day goes bad, like, I can still, like, relinquish back to the fact that even before the day started, like, I got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah.
There's a very, very popular video from a Navy SEAL admiral where he is giving a commencement speech. And I'll try to find the link to the video so you can put it in the description.
Okay.
It is a badass video. This dude is awesome.
If you don't get it to me, I'm not going to look for it.
I know.
Okay.
Anyway, in that video, he talks about the routine of the military. And you made your bed a certain way. And like when I was in naval basic training, even though it was only for 3 days before they sent me home for a medical reason, they have like a general orders book that kind of is like your framework of how basic training goes.
Okay.
Well, that book became the measuring tool for how to make your bed. When they wanted the sheet folded back, they wanted it folded back the length of the book.
Gotcha.
And all like everything had an exact, you know, pass or fail result to it. And so that Navy Admiral is giving that commencement speech and he talks about the first thing they do is they teach you how to make your bed. And so that way, no matter what happens throughout the day, at least you came home to a bed that is made.
Yeah.
And it like, again, you'll have to watch the video in the link in the comments because it is awesome. And I've seen this guy speak in other places and recognized who he is and then gone back to watch the original video. And I'm like, yeah, that's that same guy. Like the dude is just amazing. So,
I want to say something else about the routine. And mm-hmm. I didn't really think about it until I watched it again today. A lot of the guys in Tradewinds, you and I have dealt with this, is the overwhelming feeling that you get because you're stressed, you have a lot on your mind, you know, all of those different things with being a business owner, right? And there it becomes very hard to disconnect. And I know we're going to get into family here in just a second, mm-hmm. but it becomes very hard to disconnect and have that work-life balance, as we say. I think that if you can build a routine around the end of your day, as far as it comes to work, to have a sense of completion for the day is over, it allows you to disconnect and sleep and rest.
Yep.
Now, that's going to be different for everyone.
Yep.
For me, it's a numbers thing, okay? Are all my numbers in order for the day? Where did I end up at?
Yep.
Did I meet my goals? What do I have to do tomorrow to start on that process of reaching those goals? That gives me a sense of completion in my day.
Yep.
Regardless of what it is.
Yep.
And it allows me to disconnect and actually rest instead of being laying there in bed. Oh, I got to think about this. I got to think about that. You know, whatever. If you can somehow build a sense of completion to each day, it will allow you to disconnect and it will push that burnout away.
Yes.
So to say.
Yeah. And so how I did that was a sheet I call a KPI sheet, key performance indicators. And you know, you begin to understand what are the important metrics in your business, and then you measure those every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so like in most businesses, sales is an important metric. In most businesses, conversion rate is an important metric. So that's the number of opportunities you're given versus the number of opportunities you closed, right? And so we have two rounds of, well, three. We measure conversion three different ways in our company. We measure conversion from inbound calls to booked appointments.
Yeah.
That's our call conversion. We have a sales conversion from a booked appointment to a sale that's made. And then we have our Smedley Family Plan conversion where we measure how many opportunities we had to sell them on our monthly plan and then how many we actually sold. And so we measure all three of those because if we ever have a bad month, those metrics are probably affected. And so those metrics can tell us why we're having a bad month and what we need to do to fix it. Other things that we measure are we measure like when we make a sale, what is the average price of that sale? We measure total revenue. We measure how many tasks we sell on each call. And so essentially, when you measure all of that stuff, at the end of the week, if you had a great week, those numbers will tell you why. Well, you ran more calls than you usually do, or you sold a higher average ticket than you usually did, or your conversion was better than it usually was, or some combination of all that, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a bad week, then those things are also going to play out. Did you not run enough calls? You've measured how many calls you ran. So were you short on calls? Was your conversion low? Was your average ticket low? Or whatever the case may be. And so part of my routine was at the end of the day, I would sit down on the computer and I would fill out my KPI sheet. And that was kind of like my bookend for business that day.
It kind of lets you wrap up the day. I've wrapped up the work day doing this. This is my end piece.
Yeah. And most people lose hope. Most people lose desire and dedication simply because they feel like they don't know what they're doing. And if you aren't tracking things, you are not going to feel like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you aren't tracking your sales, and I said, hey, how's your week been? I don't know.
I feel, or you say, I feel like it was good.
I feel
like we didn't do enough work. We talk about feelings on the show all the time in various different ways. Feelings just get you in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. I try to remove any opportunity for somebody to be able to say, I feel like blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, what do the facts indicate? Like, I feel like we're really slow this week. Well, you may feel that way because you had two or three jobs go bad. Part break, you had a leak, you missed a part, you had to go back to the shop and get it or something like that. Can make you feel like you've had a bad week.
Yeah.
But then you go look at those KPIs and you look at the revenue number and average ticket and everything's good. Well, now all of a sudden your feelings don't fucking matter because you had a great week.
Your feelings don't fucking matter. I love it.
Or the flip side, you could be like, man, I am killing it this week. I've made a sale on every call I've gone on. My conversion is through the roof.
The average 50 but
if,
bucks.
Yeah, if your average sale was crap,
yeah.
Well, again, fuck your feelings because your metrics are going to give you that result.
I feel like a lot of times we're slow this week, and then it's really they ran four calls and sold one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they feel like they didn't work, but they had the opportunities to work.
Yes.
They just didn't close those sales. I think that is the number one when it comes to just – as example, guys in Tradewinds,
yep.
And you know, guys that we know in the industry, like, oh man, we just had a slow week. We didn't do anything. It's like, you just didn't sell anything. Like the calls were there.
Right.
You could have been working.
Yeah.
You just didn't capitalize on them.
Yeah. Another thing I track is I average how many calls per man per day we run, because I know that in my company, there is a range where we are the most profitable. And a lot of guys think they want to run four calls a day every day. So that's 20 calls a week or more if you're working Saturdays and Sundays. And that's not profitable. I've proven it with our performance. We've run, you know, over three calls per man per day, close to four calls per man per day. And those were some of our least profitable months. And the reason why is you're spending so little time in the customer's house. How can you do anything big and notable, right?
Well, and employees, they think, I've got to get to the next call because they don't want to be working late.
Yeah.
You know, but when there are only two calls on them, they look for the extra sale inside the house.
Right.
Oh, you know what? I bet I could sell them on a complete toilet rebuild and on all three instead of just this one that's leaking.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even give those options because they feel like they're going to be out of time.
Right. It's going to be different for every company. Our company is most profitable when our technicians run between 2 and 2.5 calls per day. And I know what you're going to say. How do you run a half a call a day?
Oh, well, no, I'm not, because I know how.
It's averages,
it's
right?
For the week, yeah. Or the month, whatever.
Yeah, you ran five calls over 2 days. That's an average of 2.5 calls a day.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean we only schedule 2.5 calls per day on our guys.
No.
But what it means is we embrace the idea of you, the most important customer is the one that is in front of you right now. So my guy could look at his schedule and he's got four calls on his day, but he goes to Mrs. Jones' house first thing and Mrs. Jones says, I want you to replace all the toilets in my house and the water heater today.
Today.
Our plumber knows a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush.
Yeah.
So capitalize on the bird in the hand, and the two in the bush are the future calls that he's supposed to run that day. He's going to call in the office and say, hey, you got to do something with those other calls. I got one.
Yeah.
Right? I just made a big sale. I'm going to be here all day. And so we track all that. And so our average of 2 to 2.5 a day is a product of our plumbers selling well. and then spending a lot of time in the customer's house making repairs. Now, that's different than when I first opened my company. When I first opened my company, it was get through all the calls because I wanted as many satisfied customers as I could. I was building our company off of word of mouth referrals, and you can only get a word of mouth referral when you've made somebody really happy. I can't make you happy unless I do work for you, and I can't do work for you unless you buy something from me.
Well, and that's a 6-month outlier too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And so what I'm getting at is if you're listening to this and getting ready to start your own company, don't think you need to only run 2 calls a day.
No, you need everything.
You need everything you can get, and you want to be pushing for those referrals and those Google reviews and everything. It's a little bit of a gear shift. First gear is getting you off the ground. Then you start really honing in your KPIs.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever actually explained it well enough about how important those first word of mouth referrals are.
Right.
You know what I mean? They are gold. They are better than you making an extra $150 per sale for an entire day. You cannot get more customers if the customers you have at the very beginning aren't your biggest cheerleaders.
Right.
You have got to make them happy first. And you have to make as many of them happy as you can. It is insanely important.
Yes.
And I don't think we ever really hit on that.
Yeah. The biggest part when you're first starting out, it's about making every sale you can. That means you're probably going to discount a little bit. That means you're going to get creative with package pricing. That means you're going to work later than you normally would. You may even work Saturdays and you don't want to work Saturdays. But when you're first starting out, for the first 3 months, when I started out, I dedicated from 8 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. I was out of the house and I was either doing work or hunting for work. One of those two.
Yeah.
And if I was running a service call and then I didn't have anything to do afterwards, I was hanging door flyers and I was canvassing social media to reply and comment on posts where people were looking for plumbers on local Facebook groups and things like that. Or I was attending, and we're going to talk about some of this other stuff later, some networking groups and all of that stuff. In other words, my MO was either do work or hunt work for, you know, what is that? 48 hours a week.
Yeah.
8 to 5. And, there's so many people that you see where they're like, you know, how's things going? Well, things are slow. The phones aren't ringing. Oh, what are you doing? I just been watching TV. Like
I cleaned out my truck.
Watching TV ain't going to make the phone ring.
Yeah.
Like if things are going to get better, it's because you made them better, not because it just all of a sudden the phone started ringing.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I still do this to this day. Our business has been open for 5 years. And when our call volume gets a little light, I'll mass text all of our customers with some kind of special timely promotion. If it's been raining lately, I'll mass text like $50 off sump pumps. If it's, you know, getting ready to become holiday season and, you know, families and everything, I'll mass text, you know, $50 off garbage disposals. Whatever I can to make calls get on the board.
Yeah.
And we still call this audible today because Danielle runs the phones on Mondays. And if our schedule on Monday is light, then we're spending time over the weekends monitoring some of the other ways that we get calls. And if somebody emails in wanting to book an appointment, we'll answer the emails on the weekend.
Yeah.
Just to make sure Monday's full. So the guys have something to start with on Monday. Mondays always tend to fill up. But
yeah, they do.
But if it starts out dry, then you don't want to miss the morning opportunity.
If Monday starts out slow, then it's the MailChimp campaign time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, this week's looking a little rough already. Let's just do it now.
Yeah. Now, I have not talked to David about this. So you guys are going to hear us talk about something live on the air. But I have.
As live as our shows can be.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have had the desire to. So there's a lot of files in information that when you join Tradewinds, get.
I feel work coming my way.
With Tradewinds. There are some of these files that I would love to give away for free because we don't charge for them in Tradewinds. It's just
you just get them when
you
sign up.
Them when you join Tradewinds. I would love to give away some of these files for free and give you guys some of these files. So don't be surprised if you hear us talking about KPIs and huddle sheets being able to be purchased for $0 in the near future. But David and I are going to have to hash that out. So
I don't like where this is fucking going. I'm trying to make money. This guy's trying to give it the fuck away.
It, well, we don't make money on these things anyway, but that,
yeah,
you know,
I'm not an idiot.
These files are really, really helpful. So the one that I just mentioned we hadn't talked about yet, that's the huddle sheet. So your KPI is daily performances.
Yeah.
Your huddle sheet is going to take like a summary of your daily performances and put them into overall business terms for the month. So your huddle sheet's going to say like, you know, your average daily revenue. And so now once we know our average daily revenue, we know how many business days are in a month, we can start to forecast if we stay at this pace, we're going to finish out the month at this much revenue.
Yeah.
And early in the month, the pace is not all that accurate, but you start to get halfway through the month, a third of the way through the month, two thirds of the way through the month, anywhere in that middle third of the month, and those numbers start to become fairly accurate. Especially like you get a third of the way into the month, you're going to have a close idea. You get halfway through the month, you're going to get a lot closer. You get two thirds of the way through the month, and your pacing number is going to be fairly accurate at that point.
The good thing about the huddle sheet is it spurs you mid-month, regardless of how you're trending.
Yeah.
Oh man, we're trending down this month. Well, it spurs you to get more work.
I got to kick it up in a high gear.
And if you have the right mindset, if you're doing great halfway through the month, it spurs you to, hey, we may be able to have the best month we've ever had.
Yeah.
I should push because everything's profit now from X on.
Yep. Like, exactly.
If your mindset is, oh, we've already had a great month, who cares? That's a you problem.
Right.
That's not the right answer. The right answer is, hey, let's make sure that we kill it so great this month that if next month sucks, doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and then next month, obviously try to kick ass, but you know.
Okay. So let's move on a little bit let's talk family time. So the reason we want this routine and the reason we want to measure KPIs is because most business owners that have a failing relationship within their home, that's happening because they're so disorganized in their business, that business disorganization spills over into their personal life. And so one of the perks of having a routine and measuring your KPIs is it allows you to compartmentalize work from home. And you can get home from work, you can spend 5 or 10 minutes filling out your KPI sheet and your huddle sheet, and now you can like turn work off for the day. You know all of the things that you would have formerly been anxious about. There's a lot of people that have a hard time paying attention to their spouse or their kids because they're anxious about something going on at work. Well, the reason they're anxious is because they don't know about it. They don't know, like, I'm anxious that we're not going to make it. Well, what do the numbers say? I don't know. Yeah. I'm anxious that I'm not going to make payroll. Well, what's in your bank account? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, all of those kinds of things. And so those kinds of KPIs give you all of that information to where now you can focus on your family. And
lack of knowledge creates fear, regardless of what industry it's in.
Yeah. David Goggins, I got to hear him speak. I've talked about him before on the show.
Is he the big black guy that was the Marine?
Yeah. He's not big.
He's like my size, but like outweighs me by 50 pounds because he's so ripped.
He's pretty ripped. Yeah.
Okay.
He's also
I do like him.
He's been in all the special forces of all the branches. He's okay. The like only American ever to qualify for all of them.
Okay. Yeah.
But now he does like ultramarathon running and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen him on a bunch of podcasts, and every podcast he's ever on, they're just like, dude, are you a crazy person?
Yes.
And then he always has a great answer for it.
Yeah.
I like him.
And so I got to watch him speak, and I got to watch him ask a question about something, because the guy's kind of known for being fearless. And he's like, I'm not fearless. He was like, I might portray that on the outside, but I get afraid of shit. And he goes, you want to know how I handle fear? And everyone's like, yeah. He goes, I study the hell out of it.
Yeah.
The reason you're afraid of something is because there's unknowns. So if you study the heck out of anything, you will no longer be afraid of it. And that applies everywhere. If you're afraid of working on tankless water heaters, it's because you don't know anything about them. Study the hell out of tankless water heaters and you're no longer afraid of it.
Becoming an expert, you want those calls because you know you're going to make bank.
Right.
Because you know the unit so well.
Yeah. I mean, if you're afraid of dying in a car crash, study the hell out of how to defensively drive safely.
Yeah.
Where you're like all of, you know, it's fairly basic, but it says a lot.
Yeah.
And so as soon as people can make the connection that fear is just, unknowns, and so, well, let's just make them known.
Yeah.
Well, then there we go. And if there's no way to make them known other than just going through it, okay, well, then we're just going to do it. We're going to see what happens. And then now we're going to know. The unknowns become known, right? And so most of the time when you're dealing with your family time, the reason your family gets strained as a business owner is because you have all these unknowns in the business that spill over. So doing the KPIs and doing the huddle sheets and all of that stuff, that clears all of that up to allow you to focus on your family, to allow you to read the bedtime book to your kid or take your wife on date night or whatever the case may be. And one of the things that, one of the reasons I avoided starting my business for so long was because I was able to recognize that most successful business owners were divorced. And it's because they put too much focus on the business and not enough on their relationships. And for me, I didn't want that to happen. I valued my marriage very well, and I allowed that to hinder me from starting my business. It wasn't until later on that I started realizing that most of the really successful business owners were also really successful in their marriage. And so essentially what I learned from that is if you do it half-assed, you're going to get half-assed results and you're probably going to half-ass your way through your marriage. But if you do business with diligent intent and you do business with purpose, well, then that's also going to spill over to your relationship and you're going to do your relationship with purpose as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the stigma, and I think some of this is from people you know personally too, that are just, they're absentee fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't help raise their kids. Their wife hates them. They either get divorced or just in a loveless marriage, you know, and you had a lot of that firsthand, right?
Yep.
And I did too.
Yep.
That is just that's a them problem. That type of person is just either, and we've talked about this on the show, they're only in it to make money and only in it for their own self-fulfillment.
Yeah.
You know, they're not in it to make money to buy freedom to do the things they want to do.
Right.
They're in it to make money to have money.
Right.
To be the big shot. And that type of person, let's be honest, a lot of the times is a very successful person because you kind of have to be selfish in some areas to become that successful.
Right.
But those are the outliers.
Right.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the show, prioritize your family. Don't deprioritize them when you start your business.
Yeah.
But have a plan in place. You know, we talk about all this planning and structure and all of this stuff before you start your business and right when you start your business. Have a plan to prioritize your family, you know, at the end of the day, or like you do with date night, or, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
so that they don't get lost in the minutia. Because if your whole goal is to start your own business so that you can have money to enjoy life and enjoy time with your family, and then in the process of doing that, you extricate yourself from your family, you really fucked it up, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, like, you,
I want the freedom to be able to go to all my kids' games, and, well, son, I can't go to your game because I got to work because I didn't organize things correctly.
Yeah, you really... Let's be honest, you're a complete jackass.
Yeah.
Like,
how we do one thing is how we do everything. And so if you do business okay, your relationship's going to be okay. But if you do business to the best of your abilities, then guess what? Your relationships around the house are also going to be done to the best of your abilities.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, so we've talked about doing work, right? Now let's talk about hunting work, because when you're new in business, you're going to need to hunt work, and you don't have the money to spend on marketing. So you're going to have to find really creative ways to hunt work. Thankfully, you don't have to hunt too much work because it's just you, right? Maybe you and another guy or something like that. So one of the ways to do that, especially when you're newer or smaller in business, is through business networking groups. And the most common one out there is BNI, Business Networking International. But there's a lot of other groups out there. There's another popular one here locally called Referral Madness. I don't know if they're nationwide or not. But essentially, these networking groups operate the same way. What it is it's a collective group of people that all refer each other work. But the group of people is very calculated in the fact that in the group, there's only going to be one person for each trade line. So you're only going to have like one real estate agent, one mortgage guy, one plumber, one electrician, one heating and cooling guy, one concrete person, whatever the case may be.
One roofer, whatever.
Yeah.
They have a list of 10 and they're just trying to fill out that 10.
Yeah. They only have one seat for each role. And so then the idea is you establish a large enough group, 20, 30 people in the group, all doing different things. And now you have 20 or 30 people that are constantly feeding work your way. Anytime those 20 or 30 people need, they hear of somebody who needs a plumber, they're going to refer you.
Yes.
Anytime you hear, like, let's say you're the plumber. Anytime you hear, like, hey, you know, you're trying to sell somebody a sewer and they're like, well, I got to refinance my house first. So now you're going to refer the refi guy or the finance guy that's in your network group.
Yeah.
And I use that as an example because I literally did a sewer replacement for somebody that they couldn't afford it and they couldn't. I was too small to do financing at that time. We weren't offering financing. And so they needed to refinance their house before they could drop $8,000 on the new underground piping.
Yeah.
And so I referred her to the refi guy. He got her all set up. And 3 weeks later, we were doing $8,000 in work. And the refi guy got a sale out of it too, right? Yeah.
The only thing to look out for in those are the real estate guys. I think for the most part, and my perception of B&I has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are guys in Tradewinds that are in B&I groups that love it, that get tons of work for it from it. Why? I don't know if it's, you know, population density in their area, if they're just in a good B&I group or what, but we've seen guys have success with it. The only person I think you really have to look out for in the B&I group is the realtor. And only because I got burned a couple of times, and I mentioned this in that original yep. episode, is because a real estate guy will, how do I want to say this? He will refer you to other clients, and that's good. Those are great referrals.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts using you for his own referrals, I say he, I mean either or, when he starts using you for his own referrals to get prices, to start manipulating price on homes he's selling or homes he's buying for clients, that's the guy to look out for.
Right.
For the most part, everyone else is probably going to have your best interest at heart and try to refer you. It's like anything else, though. If they don't like you and you don't have a personality,
yep.
You know, it's going to be hard to get them to refer you. So if you are going to get in a B&I group, get in it as full-fledged as you can get in it.
Mm-hmm.
Network with them. Have lunches with them. Communicate with them so mm-hmm. that you're top of mind for them.
Yeah.
Like, it's only going to be as successful if you put real effort into being a part of the group.
Yeah. So my experience with it, and now don't take my experience as golden, because B&I groups are different for everybody.
Yeah, they are.
I did not have a lot of success in B&I groups. However, we have people in Tradewinds that have tremendous success with it.
That's what I was saying.
And some of it's just location and everything else. I needed, just for my business to function, I need like 3 leads a day per plumber. Okay. So per field person, I need 3 leads a day. When it's just me, I only need 3. Pretty easy. But I hire somebody. Now I got to double it to 6. I hire somebody else. I got to increase it by 50% and go to 9. Right. And so at the speed I was wanting to grow my company, B&I was not producing the leads that I needed in exchange for the time it required from me.
Yeah.
And I didn't write them down. I actually ran the math on the original episode 8, and we talked about how many leads I got, how much money I made, and how much time I spent in B&I.
Yeah, it was.
And basically, I spent about 5 hours of my time for every 1 lead I got from B&I. And so that really wasn't worth it. But I could have very easily switched B&I groups to a different one here in the metro, and it may have completely changed. But for me, it was like I could take that same 5 hours and invest it on the internet and on Google, and procure more leads in that 5 hours than what I was getting from the B&I group.
Yeah.
So, but there are networking groups out there. I encourage everybody to try them out for their own. And don't like dip a toe in the water because I had a bad experience with it. Like, there are people in Tradewinds that are killing it in their B&I groups, and they're only killing it because they went into it with their full intentions and not just kind of half-assed. So,
yeah. T Rizzle takes his whole crew.
Yeah.
And like, their community is strong in their B&I. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. It works really, really well.
Yeah.
So all of those networking groups are very similar. Now, I will say this, avoid the free networking groups. Don't even do those, because you get what you pay for. And if it's a free networking group, that means the leads are going to be ultra shitty. So ignore them. That's going to be a lead of, like, let's say I was referring David
And oh, you need an HVAC guy? Oh, I got this guy. He's super cheap. He's going to get you taken care of. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And super cheap. What did I do? I just threw David under the bus and I gave him a shitty lead, right?
Yeah. Thanks,
Dick. And so the paid groups, if everybody's paying to be in the group, then they're going to keep the lead quality high. And so they're going to be like, eh, it doesn't sound like you're quite ready for a new furnace. But when you are ready, keep in mind, furnaces aren't cheap. So when you are ready, let me know. I got a guy for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different kind of a referral. So keep that in mind as you're going through that as well. The last thing that we're going to talk about on how to hunt work is using social media to get work. No matter where you're listening to this show from, I guarantee you that your local community has a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of clucking and a lot of gossiping about what's going on in the community. It's a lot of people bitching about roads and bitching about fast drivers. And it's a lot of open letters to the person that pissed them off in Walmart or whatever.
Or did you hear the explosion around Adams Darien?
Yeah.
What the?
Big boom south side.
What do you think it was? What was it? How the fuck is anyone even going to know what that is?
Right.
Stop.
There was one yesterday that was like, did anybody else just feel the earth move? And everyone was like, yeah. And sure enough, we had an earthquake yesterday.
First off, I thought it was complete bullshit. And then I went to the survey website and looked. And we've been having some. I'm not shitting you. Like 2 weeks ago, I was in my office. We were on a Zoom call, and I look over at my TV. I have a big TV on my wall. Mm-hmm. Had some stocks and stuff on it. And I just got out of the corner of my eye, my TV shook.
Yeah.
My monitor. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Yep.
Dude, I looked on the same day. There was one. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that website that was linked in there.
I'm not sure what's going on.
It shows we've had like 15 earthquakes in the last 30 days in Missouri. Now, they're all smaller.
Yeah.
And Missouri has a giant fault running through it. It's huge, but it's not all that active.
And it's in the southeast.
Yeah.
But we get these little micro tremors, I guess. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But those Facebook groups, there's all the time in there people asking, who do you know for a plumber? And these are people that they, like, the reason they're on a Facebook group instead of on Google is either they have a low trust in Google or they're trying to get work on the cheap. Either which, you can still work with it, right?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, no matter what price you tell a customer, they're going to think it's too expensive. So price yourself accordingly.
Well, and to the point from before, you're trying to satisfy everyone you can.
Yeah.
And grow. So if you got to take some of that low-hanging fruit when you're starting out, that's something you got to do.
Yeah. And so one of the fastest ways you can grow your company. Now, check out the group rules because they have rules for advertising and everything else. And maybe you can only post your business on certain days or whatever. But one of the ways that you can quickly grow your company is you go to those Facebook groups and you search, like I'll just real example, this is what I did as a plumber. I would go to these Facebook groups of all these local cities and I would search plumber or plumbing. And it would tell me every post in history that somebody's asked for a plumber.
Yeah.
And I would take all posts within like the last 3 months and I would go comment on those posts.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't just comment like, hey, call me. I would tag my business. I would include a cool little photo that I made for that.
Yeah.
And then I would put our phone number up there. We can be reached at, we have a vanity phone number. It's 816 Medley. And so I'd put that on there. And what that does, like, is that person still looking for a plumber 3 months later? No, they're not. But the way that the Facebook algorithms work is that reactivates that thread and that puts your company as now newly commenting on that thread.
Yeah.
And it's going to put that in front of the view of a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Now, if nobody engages with it after that, it's going to fall out of view pretty quick. However, a lot of people in those Facebook groups are lurkers and they don't post. There's a lot of people in those Facebook groups that they need a plumber. They don't make a post saying, I need a plumber.
They go search for
They go search for posts where other people have asked for plumbers and they see who commented on them, right? And so now it puts your comment most fresh on that post for the lurkers, for the searchers and not the posters, right? And so that works really, really well. And you can get boatloads of work just by doing that. Now, is that really effective at scale? No, but it gets you off the ground and it gets your bankroll rolling enough to where now at about the time where that's losing effectiveness, you now have enough cash roll to start advertising. And so there's a changeover that happens eventually where you're no longer getting a ton of work. Like we used to get a majority of our work. We used to get all of our work through social media because I didn't advertise.
Yeah.
And then now we get most of our work through Google and word of mouth and everything else. But that is just a progression as our company grows.
Yeah.
So, and if you'll notice, chances are when you're searching those posts, you're going to notice that the plumbers or the tradesmen, whatever trade you are, that are being commented and tagged on there, they are a lot of smaller shops.
Yeah.
If you have a private equity owned shop in your area, they aren't being tagged in there a lot, which helps prove the fact that people think those private equity owned companies are really expensive and they're trying to get work a little cheaper and everything else. So you can play the crowdsourcing line to help get your business off the ground.
Let me ask you a question about that.
Yep.
At what point do you think you had too many guys to do it because your price had to be high enough to support those guys? Because I know, just talking out of my ass here, at $300 an hour, you can get all that work and be profitable.
Yeah.
When you're at $400, $500, $600 an hour, like at what point price-wise was that change, you think? Or or price-wise and employee number, I guess.
Yeah, for us, as soon as we crossed the $400 an hour threshold on our flat rate pricing, that's where we started dropping off. But also, those groups can only provide so much work.
Yeah.
And for us, our involvement in those groups and recommendations in those groups started to drop off at about three plumbers.
Okay.
So, and three plumbers, we were having enough overhead where we needed appropriate pricing at that point.
Yeah. And the reason I bring it up is because just like the original nine episodes, this is 208,
mm-hmm.
it's rehash of number eight. Most of the guys that are small in one or two trucks or getting off the ground, that's their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
We talked to him this morning about, you know, he was wanting to spend a little bit of money on marketing. So we're like, dude, you're one.
Yeah. You don't need.
You, if you're a good plumber, good salesman, whatever, good at your trade, you should be able to be a week out.
Yeah.
On your own, no advertising.
Yeah.
Now, if not, something's wrong.
Now, one final thing I did, and we hit on this last week, but it kind of wraps all this up, is I introduced our company to our local market on our Facebook group the day before we opened. It was June 31st of 2020. July 31st of 2020, because we opened August 1. So I made a post on our local Facebook group introducing, I said, hey, my name is Mitch Smedley, and tomorrow we are opening a new plumbing company in the area, and we're kind of unique. And so, in other words, you got to go to these groups with why they should shop with you. What makes you better than everybody else? Everyone's going to say, oh, we got the best pricing and the best quality and all that shit. Well, if everyone says that, then nobody does, right?
Yeah.
And so I went to those groups and said, hey, we do this really cool thing called hashtag family first, where we spend the first business day of each month doing free repairs for people in the community that need them.
Yeah.
And so that allowed us to really dominate those groups early on because people just loved the idea of a company that's taking care of the community. And so we talked about it on the last show that it does turn into a form of branding and it does turn into a form of marketing if you talk about it in the right ways. You don't want to be bragging about charity, but you still got to get the message out there. You can't get any recipients of charity if they don't know about it, right? They can't buy from you if they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And charity, they're not buying, but they still can't be your customer if they don't know who you are. So that's one of the things that I did to do that. I just bit the bullet and made like this big announcement speech.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do any kind of charitable thing, find some other thing that sets you apart. If you're a plumber and you have one plumber in your company and you have 20 years of experience, well, then you can just average that the average level of experience in our company is 20 years per plumber.
Yeah.
You're not lying to them. You're not telling them that you're the only plumber there, right? I mean, I've run that average. We had an average of 20, like we had five plumbers on staff and an average of 21 years of experience between all five of us.
Yeah.
And that's not shared amongst all five. Like we had like 105 years of experience amongst five plumbers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we brag about that kind of stuff and you got to constantly be searching for things that set you apart from the competition. Other things that can set you apart from the competition.
You know what I saw from this morning? Watching that number eight today was you had said, and I hope I remember later, I'm going to post this in the TradeWinds group. You were giving away $50
Yes.
Thank you cards, essentially, mm-hmm. for, like, if you went to a restaurant, and I'm going to have you explain it better here in a second, but as you went to a restaurant and got first-rate service, top-notch service, you tipped well.
Yep.
You know, you and I both agree that tipping well is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be doing it if you get good service. But you would say, what was it you said?
So the little cards that I had just said, like, $50 off any service at Smedley Plumbing, and then I would, like, sign the back of it. It had okay. to be authorized, right? But then I would hand it to the server or whoever I got good service from, and I would let them know, we've built our company around providing exceptional service, and you've done that for me today. So in addition to tipping you well, I'd like to appreciate your amazing service with a $50 coupon
to the plumbing company.
If you ever need a plumber, you know, I can return the favor of excellent service.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a ton of those turned in, but it still gets your name talked about, and it still is talked about under the heading of quality and not like buy my shit, right?
Yeah.
Nobody goes to social media to be sold something. So you don't want to be going to social media and have all your stuff being like, shop for me, shop for me, shop for me. Like, social media, people buy from people that they know and that they like and that they trust. They don't buy from the person who screams buy my shit the loudest or the most often.
No.
And so your social media presence needs to be a presence of, it needs to make them aware of who you are. It needs to make them like you, and it needs to make them trust you. And so, in other words, show some vulnerability in your social media. Talk about some struggles that you had or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Being a genuine, real person goes a long way.
Exactly.
And I think that what I took away from those cards was that makes you a genuine, normal person.
Yeah.
That appreciated something and now in return is willing to, you know, pay that forward or
right.
pay that back, you know, however you want to look at it. And I bet, I don't know how long you give those out for a long time?
I still have them in the truck today.
So do you still give them out now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
How often do you give one out?
So like when we're in this county funded program where the county pays for customers to get sump pumps installed. And the plumber or those customers pick from a list of names. And if we get picked, whenever I go do an evaluation for the job, like I'll go survey the area myself first before we do the yeah. install. And I introduce myself, tell them thanks for picking us. And as a token of my appreciation, here's a $50 off coupon to Smedley Plumbing. Should you ever need us in the future?
Gotcha.
And so I hand them that. They'll put it on their fridge or whatever. And then we do the free sump pump. How easy is it to make a customer super happy that gets like $4,000 in work done at no charge?
Yeah, plus that.
It's the easiest sale you'll ever make.
And I would think, you know, giving those out these days, like every time you went out to eat or did this or did that or whatever, and those things were just out everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that could be really valuable.
Yeah.
I had completely forgot about it till I rewatched that episode today. I was like, man, we haven't talked about that forever.
Yeah. Other ways to hunt work. Go to your local pizza shop. And I say local, non-franchise, not Domino's, not Pizza Hut, not Little Caesars, not Minsky. Yeah. Well, maybe Minsky's. I don't know if Minsky's is.
I think Minsky's may be Casey only.
But find your local pizza shop, like Tim's Pizza, Bob's Pizza. For us, it's the pizza place.
No, it's Pizza Shop. We have.
Are those local?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're everywhere.
Those are Kansas City only.
Okay. But find your small pizza shop and then go work a deal with them. Of like, you'll have X amount of dollars in free plumbing work if I can put a coupon on every single one of your boxes that goes out. And it doesn't cost you anything up front. Your coupon's going out there. And then eventually that pizza shop's going to have a gas leak. They're going to need a water heater worked on. They're going to have a drain clog. They're going to have a sink that's not working right.
Yeah.
And now they've got credit with you. So it doesn't cost them anything. They're selling ad space on their boxes in exchange for plumbing repair credit, which all restaurants will eventually need.
Dude, you know what would be great is if you could do that was just a sticker with a QR code on it. So the people that get it at home, like they don't have to worry about stapling it on there, nothing. It's just a sticker. And then they just take a picture of that QR code and then have it forever.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, like any, I mean, you get creative with how you do that. If you're ever at a restaurant that does a majority of their services takeout,
yeah,
and like offer to barter with them, I'll do this service for free if I can give you, you know, 1,000
stickers,
flyers,
whatever
that you're gonna tape to your boxes or stickers that you're gonna put on your boxes or whatever. and work that exchange with them. Again, when you're just getting off the ground, it's a whole different ball game. And so you got to get really creative with how you can market. Another thing I did through social media was I would go to all these local businesses in town and get gift cards from them. And I would do like gift card, gift basket giveaways. And these would all be like shop local kind of things, right? And so like I went to like a hair salon and a tanning salon and the skating rink and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And they all donated like little $10 to $20 coupons or gift cards or something to their facility.
Yeah.
And then I would make social media posts saying, hey, we're going to do a gift card basket giveaway. And I would tag all those businesses in it. So now for their $20 coupon, they got a bunch of social media mileage about all of this. And then I'm raffling off something that didn't cost me anything. It was just communicating to these business owners and getting their things, right? And you can't just take advantage of them and get the free things and then say, screw you, and not tag them in the post. Like, you want them to win too, because you want to be able to run this play again.
Yeah.
And so make sure that you're tagging it. And then after you like announce, make a whole nother post where you're announcing the giveaway winner, special thanks to everybody who donated a gift card, and you tag them all again and all of that stuff. But there's a lot of ways where you can use social media very creatively and blow your business through the roof very quickly.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things that we're talking about here, we talk about more in depth inside of Tradewinds.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
As you guys are growing your businesses and you guys are coming into questions that you want to ask, how do I market this? Is this a good deal? Is this a good deal? Feel free to email us. Our emails are in the description of this show, and we love helping people out. Like giving back is David and I's jam. That's why we created Tradewinds and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so feel free to email us, and you can say, hey, the local, you know, golf course wants me to pay $1,000 to put me on their scorecards. Is this a good deal? We can talk about it. You know, hey, the local pizza shop wants me to pay $1,000 to put flyers on their boxes. We just talked about that, right? But like there's tons of marketing opportunities out there. Some are good, some are bad, depending on what business you have, depending on the clientele that are going to see that piece of advertising and all of that. So, you know, shoot us those questions. We'd love to answer them for you.
Hell
if
yeah.
You guys have any other questions about routine, KPIs, family time, anything you've heard in this show, we love to answer your questions. So shoot us an email on those emails that are listed in the description. And don't forget to go watch the video that's linked in the description from the Navy Admiral, because I'm not kidding you, it will move you. It's been viewed 20 million times.
If I can figure out a way to get the clip in on the, I know lots of people listen on Spotify and Apple, but on the YouTube version, if I can get it in there, I will.
Okay.
When we talk about it.
Yeah. Just tag it on at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. If
no,
we can,
why we talk about it, I'll just separate it, see if I can get the video in there.
Okay. Yeah. If we can, if we can find the way to play the audio on the podcast, we will.
I'll try.
Because it
no
is.
No promises though.
Yeah. It's not our audio. It's pulled from YouTube, but it is awesome. It is very, very inspirational, and it helps you wake up, do work, and repeat, and it helps you survive the mundane so that you can see the success that happens on the other side of the work that you're tired of doing.
Yep.
So until next week, guys, next week we are rehashing episode 9, evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve. And so we will give our modern take from 200 episodes later on how to evaluate performance, make adjustments, and improve. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Thank you.